Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we exalt you, we magnify you, Lord. Father, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you did, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm excited because we're starting a brand new book. And we're going to start with 1 Peter. And as usual, we're going to be doing expository teaching. But in every new book, we must go over the purpose, the author, the audience, the date it was written, the setting, and the key verse. And so I need your attention right here up on the screen. Here we go. And the name of the message this evening is basically the introduction to the book of 1 Peter. The introduction to the book of 1 Peter. Praise God, praise God. And so we're going to cover a few things, and then we're going to do our expository teaching with verses 1 through 4 this evening. Amen. Praise God. So let's look at this. The purpose. What was the purpose of 1 Peter? Why did Peter write 1 Peter, 2 Peter? Number one is to offer encouragement to suffering Christians. Praise God. Praise God. The author. The author was Peter the Apostle. Praise God. Praise God. Now also, let's go on to the audience. The audience. The audience was Jewish Christians driven out of Jerusalem and scattered across Asia Minor, and all believers everywhere, everywhere. Date written, approximately AD 62 through 64, when this was written. Praise God, praise God. And also the setting. Let's take a look at the setting here as this book was written. Peter was in Rome when the great persecution under Emperor Nero began. Eventually, Peter was executed during this persecution. And throughout the Roman Empire, Christians were being tortured and killed for their faith. Wow. And the church in Jerusalem was basically being scattered. Wow. Wow, my friends. Here's the key verse. The key verse found in 1 Peter is 1 Peter 2 and 6. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Wow, that's pretty key right there. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just say this, my friends. Let me just say this. We are not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said it best, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew and then to us Gentiles. Praise God. So that was one of the key scriptures right there, my friends. And also, let's take a look at this right here. Special features we're going to find in the book of 1 Peter. Peter used several images that were very special to him because Jesus had used them when he revealed certain truths to Peter. Peter's name, which means rock, had been given to him by Jesus. Praise God. Peter's conception of the church, a spiritual house composed of living stones, praise God, built upon Christ as the foundation which came from Christ. Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, I'm ready to start this expository teaching, but we must introduce the book. We must introduce the book. So we're going to go over our introduction here. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, as we read 1 Peter, and later on we'll get into 2 Peter, but the church during this time was crushed, overwhelmed, devastated, torn. These waves of feeling washed over those who suffer, obliterating hope and threatening to destroy them. Suffering was many forms. It came in physical abuse, debilitating disease, social ostracism, and persecution. You see, my friends, the pain and anguish tempt a person to turn back, to surrender, to give in. And many first century followers of Christ were suffering and being abused and persecuted for believing and obeying in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we come to a day and time right now, it's kind of like no different, because around the world, people are losing their life for the cause of Christ. Oh, that's right. In Iran, they're being beheaded. In China, they're being tortured. Persecution has not come to America in that form or fashion just yet. But trust me, the media, the progressive left is working on it. And we need to be praying. This is the time where the church needs to come together as one. Lay aside all theological indifferences and come together as one body in Christ, so that we can ask God to bless His church, that we would proclaim, that we would exhort, that we would build up people's lives. Can I get an amen? You see, my friends, beginning in Jerusalem, at the hands of their Jewish brothers, the persecution spread to the rest of the world, wherever Christians gathered. It climaxed when Rome determined to rid the empire of the Christ ones, those who would not bow down to Caesar. You see, my friends, Peter knew persecution firsthand. He was beaten and jailed. And Peter had been threatened often. He had seen fellow Christians die and the church scattered. He was an eyewitness to all these accounts. But he knew Christ, and nothing could shake his confidence in His risen Lord. Praise God. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that Jesus rose from the dead? Praise God. To give us life, to give us hope, to empower the church, so that we could proclaim the goodness of God. And so, my friends, Peter wrote to the church scattered, suffering for the faith, giving comfort and hope, and urging continued loyalty to Christ. He had a loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter begins by thanking God for His great salvation. He explains to his readers that trials will refine their faith, and they should believe in spite of their circumstances. Can I get an amen? How about you, saints of God, that are home right now watching this? Can you continue to believe despite of persecution, despite of trials and tribulations that come to your life? Can you hold on? Can you be like Peter to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ to the very end? Whether the end becomes sweet or bitter, it doesn't matter. Is that we would hold close to the Lord Jesus Christ. And for many in past ages, saints of God, that believed in God's plan of salvation, even the prophets of old who wrote about it but didn't understand it, but now, hallelujah, thank you, God. But now salvation has been revealed in Christ. In response to such a great salvation, Peter commands us to live holy lives, to reverently fear and trust God, to be honest and loving, and to become like Christ. Praise God. We are to be Christ-like in the day and time that we live in, saints of God. And I hope that's your case, because I'm doing my best to live holy, to allow God to sanctify me, to allow God to use me in mighty ways. You see, my friends, Jesus Christ, as the living cornerstone upon whom the church is to be built, is also the stone that was rejected, causing those who are disobedient to stumble and eventually fall. But the church, built upon this stone, is to be God's holy priesthood. Praise God. Praise God. And that's what we are. And then Peter explains how believers should live during difficult times. You see, you and I as Christians should be above reproach, imitating Christ in all of social roles. Can I get an amen? Masters and servants, husbands and wives, church members and neighbors. We're all included in this until the very end, until Christ comes for us, saints of God. You see, Christ should be our model for obedience to God in the midst of great suffering. And Peter then outlines the right attitude to have about persecution, meaning expect it, be thankful for the privilege of suffering for Christ, and trust God for deliverance. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then in this wonderful book of 1 Peter, Peter gives some special instructions. Elders should care for God's flock. Younger men should be submissive to those who are older. And everyone should trust God and resist Satan. Can I get an amen? You see, Peter concludes by introducing Silas and by sending personal greetings, possibly from the church in Rome and also from Mark. And when you suffer, saints of God, for doing what is right, remember that following Christ is a costly commitment. Oh, yes, it is. And when persecuted for your faith, rejoice. Say that with me at home. Rejoice that you have been counted worthy to suffer for Christ, because He suffered for us, praise God. And as His followers, we should expect nothing less. Can I get an amen? And so as we read and begin 1 Peter, remember that trials will come to refine your faith. They have refined mine many times over. And I need us to know that when we get into the introduction of this book, God will be glorified and magnified and high and lifted up. Praise God. Oh, yes, He will. Yes, He will. So, are we ready? Are we ready to start 1 Peter chapter 1? Let's go there right now. Here we go. In 1 Peter, we're going to break down and do an expository teaching on the first verses, four verses. Number one, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Look at this. In verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that those, praise God, that those, don't fade away. Aren't you so blessed that it doesn't fade away and is reserved in heaven for you? Praise God, praise God. You see, saints, in the style of ancient letters, began by identifying himself. He was an apostle. The title Jesus had given to the 12 disciples. Praise God, praise God. And so, let's go to the first verse right here. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion and Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Praise God, praise God. Now, I also found a scripture found in Luke 6:12. Let's go there for a minute. In Luke 6:12, now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. This is where he gathered them. This is where he named them. Praise God. As we're looking into 1 Peter. And in verse 14, Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also, what? Became a traitor. Wow, wow. You see, my friends, the title apostle, it designated one who had authority to set up and supervise churches and discipline them if necessary. Even more than a title of authority, apostle means one sent on a mission, like an envoy or an ambassador, praise God. An apostle of Jesus Christ, Peter wrote with authority because, like the Old Testament prophets, he wrote God's very words. And the recipients of this letter, including you and I, should remember Peter's connection with Jesus, his powerful ministry, and his authority to speak. You see, my friends, the recipients of this letter were God's chosen people. Praise God. You and I have been chosen before the foundation of the world. And that is both Jewish and Gentile Christians. Praise God. Praise God. And although God initiated our calling based totally on his wisdom, we who are called still must respond and choose to follow him. Praise God. But let me just say this. He's the one that keeps us. Praise God. He's the one that empowers us. All believers have been called and chosen by God. And when people accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, God transfers their citizenship from the world to heaven. Praise God. Look what it says in Philippians that I found right up here. Look at this. In Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. See, thus, saints of God, while they live on this earth, you and I, we are like foreigners in this world. And the world becomes a foreign land to all believers because their real home is in heaven. And they are only on earth temporarily. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed we're only here temporarily? Aren't you so blessed to know that this body that's failing us, this body that's full of sin, will one day be changed and we will be like him? No more disease, no more sickness, no more desires of lust and greed. Praise God. It's all going to change in the twinkling of an eye. Praise God. You saw, my friends, the church began in Jerusalem, but before long it had spread across the Roman Empire and beyond. And Peter wrote this letter to both Jewish and Gentile believers in churches scattered throughout various Roman provinces. And most likely, saints of God, Peter planned for the letter to be circulated from one church to the next throughout each area. He may have separated the name of each province to indicate the circular route that the bearer of this letter would travel. Praise God. Praise God. And so, let's go now to verse 2. Look at this. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Look at that. That's a key. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That is so key, saints of God. So key. You see, this verse mentions all three members of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And God brings about our salvation and provide a threefold assurance to believers. Praise God. And although Christians are foreigners in this world, we take comfort in the fact that God chose us long ago. God's choosing of believers has generated fierce doctrinal differences among Christians. Most of these differences come from theological and philosophical points of view about what the Bible means. Praise God. But I found some scriptures, hallelujah, that could confirm that it is God who elects. It is God who chooses. It is God that calls. It is God that quickens. It is God that empowers. It is God that draws us. Can I get an amen? Because if it was left up to us, ask yourself this, before God quickened you, before he quickened me, we had no desire for him. I got saved at the age of 30. And I can honestly say, I had no desire for Christ. I had no desire for the things of God. I have no desire for the Word of God. I didn't have no desire for the people of God. I didn't wake up thinking of God. I didn't wake up praying and fasting and asking God to help me. No. We were in our natural, unsaved self, unsaved life until God quickened us. So let's look at the scripture that I found to confirm. Look at this. Found in John 15, 16 through 21. It says clearly, "You did not choose me." This is Jesus. "But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may what? Give you." Wow, look at this. "These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own." Look at that. "Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." It's clear and simple, saints of God. Let me just pause there real quick. If the world loves you, something's wrong. Oh, that's right. Because if you're standing for Christ and you are allowing God to sanctify you and you are upholding the righteousness of Christ by faith, once again, it's not our self-righteousness, it's the righteousness of Christ that was imputed upon us at salvation, then the world will hate you for your decision to follow Christ and the things you uphold, the things that are dear now to you, the Word of God, the righteousness of God, walking in obedience, where your former friends do not walk that way, so they will oppose you. And one of the things that God did for me immediately, and I boast in Christ, is that He separated me from all the former friends that I thought they were friends, so that God can do the mighty work in me through His grace and through His mercy and through His love and the call He had on my life and He has on your life. Let's continue with this verse of scripture. Look at this. In verse 20, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. And if they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also." Look at verse 21. "But all these things," say that with me at home, saints of God, "but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake." Wow. "Because they do not" what? "They do not know him who sent me." It's as clear as day. You see, my friends, God alone originates and accomplishes our salvation because of his grace. We do nothing to earn it. God took the initiative and chose people before they had done anything to deserve it. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? That we can't say we had a hand in it. Because if we did, we would be boasting in our own selves. You see, my friends, he had intimate knowledge of these future believers, praise God, which includes us. He knew who would believe, and he knew them personally, praise God. And these chosen ones were known by God the Father as a father knows his children. Wow. And except that God knew about them from eternity past, if he had not known us, we wouldn't know him today, but he knew us already, saints. God is not trapped in time. And what he knows is from eternity past into eternity future. Praise God. Look, I found another verse of scripture that'll confirm regarding election and being chosen by God. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6. Look at this. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every," say that with me at home, "every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he" what? "Chose us." Once again, we did not choose him. "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be" what? "Holy and without blame before him in love." Let me just pause there. Because that almost looks like an impossibility. Because we're still sinful. We still have lustful desires. We still, the Bible says, fall short of the glory of God. We still miss the mark. So how can one stand before God holy and blameless? You see, it's simple. He gives us the mind to be saved. He gives us the heart to repent. And when he opens up our darkened eyes, and he enlightens us and opens up our spiritual eyes to see him, we then run and gravitate to the cross. Praise God, because we never saw him before. He lets us see him. He puts our sin before us so that we can actually see our sin. And then we are convicted. Oh, that's right. We are convicted of that. And so we run to him. And he gives us the grace to believe. Praise God. And so once the heart repents because of him, then the blood of Jesus is applied. And once he applies the blood, then the original sin from Adam is eradicated. And now the blood of Jesus is upon us. Praise God. And our sins are obliterated from that moment on. Meaning he casts them from the east to the west. He says in his word, I remember them no more. And so now we could stand blameless and holy before him. Why? Because of the blood. And once the blood is applied, then he empowers us and fills us with his Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, thank you, God, that will transform us. When Jesus comes back for his church, the Holy Spirit will raise us from our dead self, praise God, and we will be changed and we will be like him, because flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so, aren't you so blessed to know all this, saints? Or some of you already know this. It's just being reminded of the grace of God and the mercy of God. Praise God. Let's go back to the word here. Look at this. In verse 5 and 6, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It was his good pleasure that he saved us. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Praise God. You see, God makes this choice. He makes his choice effective by the presence of the Holy Spirit in those who believe, resulting in obedience. Praise God. Only the Spirit can draw people to a saving relationship with God. How many are so blessed to know that? You see, my friends, the Spirit comes to the chosen people to make them holy, meaning that God sees his children as holy because they have been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I just mentioned. And I'm just reiterating this, saints of God. But believers also are becoming holy as they learn to live for God. This is called sanctification, the process of Christian growth through which the Holy Spirit makes us like Christ. And the obvious result is that the believers obey. Why? Because now we've been empowered. We've been enlightened. Our eyes now see Jesus. Praise God. And the constant cleansing from sin is available to us because of Christ's sacrifice. It enables us to obey God faithfully. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed? You see, my friends, God's special favor refers to his grace, giving to undeserving people. Peace refers to the peace that Christ made between sinners and God through his son's death on the cross. Praise God, praise God. Peter wanted these believers scattered as they were across the empire's provinces to be united in their experience of God's favor and peace in their daily lives. Praise God. So now, let's move on to verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. And it reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise God, praise God. From the dead. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you so blessed, saints? You see, Peter launched into praise of God the Father, who had chosen and cleansed all the believers that he chose. All glory goes to God. Can I get an amen? The Old Testament believers praised God, but the New Testament believers praised him with an entirely new name, one never used in the Old Testament, and it was called Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. It's Jesus. You see, God did not, it's like God did not exist before the Son. For the Son has always existed, praise God. Oh, that's right. And I got scripture to prove that. I know there's doctrinal differences in many churches, but you have to go to the Word of God to confirm. And then if you question anything, question the Word of God, and then in prayer, ask God to reveal scriptural truth. Can I get an amen? But look at this right here found in John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word. Who is the Word? Jesus. Jesus is the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that lets us know Jesus was there. And He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Praise God, praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints? I found this also in John 17:5. Look at this. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Well, see, He was there already, saints of God. Praise God, praise God. Look at this. In John 17:24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you had given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Wow, praise God. You see, my friends, God the Father sent the Son, and the Son responded in full obedience. And we find God's mercy always at the center of any discussion of salvation. Mercy, mercy, mercy. Only God's mercy would allow Him to have compassion for sinful and rebellious people. Praise God. Salvation is given to us because of God's boundless mercy alone. That salvation is called the privilege of being born again. And Jesus used this concept of the new birth when He had told Nicodemus that one had to be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. Praise God. And saints, in the new birth, we become dead to sin and alive to God. And with a fresh beginning, people can do no more to accomplish their new birth than they could do to accomplish their own natural birth. Praise God. In this introductory and the comments that Peter has, he thanks God for the new spiritual lives of believers to whom he was writing in 1 Peter. Praise God. And believers are born again, not for this world in which they are no more than foreigners, praise God, but for a wonderful expectation of life to come. That expectation is based on the conviction that God will keep His promises, saints, to raise us from because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. How many are so blessed to know that? I am. I am so mighty thankful. And by rising from the dead, Christ made the necessary power available, praise God, for the resurrection. Look what I found in 1 Corinthians 15:22. Look at this. For as in Adam all die, even so Christ all shall be what? Made alive through Christ. Praise God, praise God. So Jesus had to come. He had to come into this world. He had to come to die for our sins, be buried in the tomb, raised up on the third day, and give us eternal life. Praise God. You see, saints of God, Christ's resurrection, it makes us certain that we too will be raised from the dead. Believers are born again from their sinful state into the life of grace, which in the end will become a life of glory. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed to know that? And so, my friends, we shouldn't be discouraged by earthly trials, which many of us go through. Some of you are going through a trial right now. Some of you are going through life being tested. Some of you have been walking for a while. Some of you may be growing cold. Some of you may have lost focus and passion. But I'm here to let you know that all you need to do is call upon the name of the Lord to help you, to strengthen you, to uplift you. And one of the ways I find myself focusing and preparing my heart is through a heart of praise, to be thankful, to be merciful, to be gracious, to be forgiving. We cannot lose thought of the things that He saved us from so that we can apply them on a daily basis. Can I get an amen? And so we shouldn't be discouraged by earthly trials, for we have the resurrection to be our backup. Praise God. Praise God. And so we're going to look, saints of God, at our last verse of Scripture. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to go there right now. And it's found in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. Say that with me. Reserved for you in heaven. You see, saints, the word translated inheritance is also used in the Old Testament to describe the inheritance to which Jews had looked forward to the promised land of Canaan. Oh, yes, they looked for a promised land, but that was going to be a temporal place. Praise God. It was a foreshadow. It was of things to come. It was a type. But we all know, thank you, Jesus, that our citizenship is now reserved in heaven. And so we no longer have to travel in a desert place for a temporary place. Because when these bodies of flesh expire, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But go back to the Old Testament and we will see. Look at this, found in Numbers 32:19. For we will not inherit with them on the other side of the Jordan and beyond, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this eastern side of the Jordan. So that was a practical place. That was a geographical place. But it all pointed to heaven. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 2:12. The Horites formerly dwelt in Seir, but the descendants of Esau dispossessed them and destroyed them from there before them, and dwelt in their place, just as Israel did to the land of their possession, which the Lord gave them. Praise God, praise God. And then we find this in verse 19 of Deuteronomy, verse 8 through 10 in chapter 19. Look at this. Now, if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as He swore to your fathers, and gives you the land which He promised to give to your fathers, and if you keep all these commandments and do them, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to walk always in His ways, then you should add three more cities for yourself beside these. Once again, this was a promise from God to the Israelites, was a foreshadow of us, of wonderful things that are coming. Look at this. Lest innocent blood be shed in the midst of your land, which the Lord God is giving you as an inheritance, and thus guilt of bloodshed be upon you. Wow. Wow, saints. So Christians look forward to another inheritance, eternal life with God. You see, that was a foreshadow we just read, but yet it was an inheritance to them. Our inheritance is not an earthly one. It's a heavenly one. Praise God. And Jesus Christ is God's only Son. Thus, He is sole heir. Aren't you so blessed to know that, saints of God? Look what I found here in Mark 12:7. Look at this. But those vine dressers among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. Remember, Jesus shared this parable about the delay of His coming. And so what happened? He painted a picture that He went away. The owner left the house, went away on a trip, and left his son there. And what happened? They came and ravaged him to kill him. Oh, that's right. But let me just say that. Nothing will be able to destroy our inheritance. Why? Because that's a promise that God has given you and I. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Aren't you so blessed? And so, as children of God, believers also become heirs with Christ of this priceless inheritance. Oh, yes. How many believe that we have an inheritance that's priceless? Look what Paul wrote to the Roman church. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs. Here we go. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If we indeed suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Oh yes, saints of God. There's going to be some suffering, but God is going to see us through. You see, Peter used three Greek words which began with the same letter and ending with the same syllable in Greek to describe this inheritance. One is called aphrothartos, amianatos, and armiarontos. Praise God. Try to say that three times. That's a tongue twister. You see, my friends, this inheritance is pure. And it won't lose its glory of freshness. It is undefiled. It will never become unfit for us or polluted by sin. It is beyond the reach of change and decay, meaning it will never pass away. It will never disappear or come into ruin as the result of hostile forces. Because we all know, Jesus said, Peter, you will build this church upon this rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. You see, my friends, these words contrast this inheritance with all earthly human possessions. Nothing in the natural order, catastrophe, sin, age, evil, can affect it. God has made it indestructible, existing for all eternity. Praise God. And believers have a non-cancelable and non-transferable, praise God, reservations in heaven. The inheritance is kept in heaven for you and I. And the word kept is in the Greek perfect tense. Praise God. Perfect, expressing a past activity with results that continue in the present. You see, my friends, God has been keeping and still keeps the inheritance there, prepared, reserved, certain, and waiting for you and I. And no matter what harm might come to believers on earth, the inheritance awaits for it as it is kept with God. Praise God. My question is this. Are you prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you? That's a good question, isn't it? Are you prepared? Saints of God, Jesus is coming soon. And knowing that he's coming soon, have you prepared yourself? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I'm going to give you that opportunity that you would receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, because he's coming soon. We're seeing the signs around us. We're seeing the chaos. We're seeing earthquakes in various places. We're seeing wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing the abominations that are piling up, not just in our nation, but around the world. We're seeing the things that Jesus said. We're seeing the apostasy take place, meaning ever since COVID, a lot of people have not returned back to fellowships around the world. They're scared to come to church now. They'd rather just stay home and watch it online, thinking that I'll be safe here. But the Bible's clear. We are not to forsake the assembly of ourselves, for the day of the return is approaching. My friends, it's time. It's time to fully give our hearts to Christ. And if you're a believer, ask God to strengthen you through your trials, through your tribulations, through all the setbacks, whatever the struggles may be, and God will cleanse you, God will wash you. Just come to him with a clean heart, because he sees all things. But I'm talking to those who have never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never given your heart to God, this is your time to cry out and ask God to forgive you of your sins. It's very simple. If God is tugging on your heart, He's calling you. If God's giving you that unction to turn to Him, that's God at work in your life. If you are being drawn to His love, to the cross, that's Him calling you. That's Him doing the work. And all we are just messengers giving you the good news. The good news is the Bible. The good news is the Word of God. The good news is that Jesus came to save us from our sin. And if that's you, I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's logged on right now to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And if that's you, I'm going to ask you to bow your heart and your head with me and to pray this prayer by faith and ask God to do the miraculous in your life. Pray with me right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Someone just received Christ. And listen, down below, as you can see, our banner right there. Down below, log on. Reach out to us. Our email and phone number is on our website. All we want to do is congratulate you, send you a Bible. If you're here locally, invite you to the church. We want to give you a Bible. We'll even send one to you if you don't have a Bible. But we want to say thank you, Jesus, for saving you. And that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Also down below, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for all those who contribute toward the ministry of Amazing Grace, for donations are deeply appreciated. Well, my friends, we covered the introduction to 1 Peter. We expounded verses 1 through 4. I look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks. I will not be live streaming Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday, next week, but I will return back in the first week of January 2023. Also, just a reminder that we will not be at church this Sunday. It is Christmas Day, and we wanted to take that Sunday off so that all the families can enjoy Christmas Day without any interruption. Amen. But I look forward to January 1st, that we could come together at 10 a.m. in 2 weeks, that we can glorify God, worship the King, and testify the goodness of God. And so I leave you with our benediction, and it goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name. Amen. So on behalf of Sister Yolanda and the Amazing Grace family, we love you. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning, January 1st at 10 a.m. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.